SAS SCADA systems supervise the logic controllers that interface with machinery at every major and minor industrial plant across the United States. A SCADA systems control railroad routers, lift gates on dams, gas and oil refinery transmissions, assembly lines, air traffic control, port facilities, fiber optics, GPS systems, hazardous materials. The defense industry at EMS industrial base in entirety. Without SCADA systems working, all hell breaks loose, all at once. SCADA systems regulate everything from boiler pressure at manufacturing plants to the mixing of chemicals at water treatment facilities across America. SCADA systems control ventilation and filtering systems, open and close valves, control large motors and pumps, switch electronic circuits on and off. With the failure of SCADA systems, thousands of subway trains, passenger trains, and freight trains traveling in every direction, many on the same tracks, collide with one another, crash into walls and barriers, or derail. Elevators stop between floors, or speed to the ground and crash. Satellites, including the International Space Station, shift out of position and begin falling to Earth. America TMS 53 remaining nuclear power plants, all now operating on backup systems, have just begun to collectively run out of time. In the air, the effects are unconditionally nightmarish. It is peak operating time for commercial aircraft across the United States. Thousands of commercial airplanes using fly-by-wire technology systems lose wing and tail controls, lose cabin pressure and landing gear. Lose instrument landing systems as they head violently toward the ground. One class of passenger aircraft is mercifully spared, namely the older model 747s, used by the Defense Department for its doomsday planes. AO 747 pilots still use a foot pedal and a yoke, mechanically linked to the control surfaces, Ayugo tells us. Air TMS no fly-by-wire technology. The other critical infrastructure systems on the ground fail in succession. Without SCADA systems controlling the more than 2.6 million miles of pipeline through which America TMS oil and gas products flow, millions of valves rupture and explode. Combustion sensors on coal-fired boiler systems suffer the wrong mix of air and fuel, causing them to ignite and blow. With the motorized valves on America TMS water delivery systems no longer under Anania TMS control, billions of gallons of water passing through America TMS aqueducts surge uncontrollably. Dams burst. Mass flooding begins, sweeping infrastructure and people away. There will be no more fresh water. No more toilets to flush. No sanitation. No street lights. No tunnel lights. No lights at all. Only candles, until there are none left to burn. No gas pumps, no fuel. No ATMs. No cash withdrawals. No access to money. No cell phones. No landlines. No calling 911. No calls at all. No emergency communication systems except some high frequency, HF, radios. No ambulance services. No hospital equipment that works. Sewage spills out everywhere. It takes less than 15 minutes for disease-carrying insects to swarm. To feed on piles of human waste, on garbage, on the dead. America TMS complex system of systems comes to a sudden, apocalyptic halt. In the ensuing fear and mayhem, people revert to their most basic, mammalian instincts. To using their five senses. Their hands, and their feet. People everywhere sense imminent danger all around. They sense that whatever just happened is the beginning of the savagery, not the end. People abandon their vehicles and begin to flee on foot. They exit buildings, run downstairs, and outdoors. People in subway trains and on buses, in halted elevator cars, work to pry open emergency exits and doors. They crawl, walk, and run for their lives. The most basic human instinct is to survive. Evolution got us this far. From hunter-gatherers to men on the moon. From spear fishermen to people who sing AO happy birthday to one another, across continents, on Zoom. Humans are wired to advance. Humans do whatever it takes. And yet, nuclear war zeroes it all out. Nuclear weapons reduce human brilliance and ingenuity, love and desire, empathy and intellect, to ash. In this moment, the most horrifying part of the shock and the despair is revelation about what life will be like from this second forward, followed by the stark realization that no one did anything substantial to prevent nuclear World War III, that this didn't TMT have to happen. And now it is too late. History lesson number 9, Apes on a Treadmill. One day in 1975, Foreign Policy magazine published an essay written by a defense official turned nuclear disarmament advocate named Paul C. Wunk. This essay, called AO Apes on a Treadmill, remains prescient to this day. In it, Wunk criticized not only how insanely dangerous nuclear weapons are, but how wasteful the entire nuclear arms race is, and always has been. He called it a monkey see, monkey do TM phenomenon, a with all participants copying one another TMS aggressive moves, and getting absolutely nowhere, like unintelligent beasts. Even worse, Wunk pointed out, was that the runners in the race didn't TMT seem to realize there was no way for any one person, or any one group, to actually win. That we are all apes on a treadmill, slaving away. The visual seared in peeply TMS minds and the article faded from view. Then in 2007, writing in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, a group of young scientists inadvertently provided a fascinating new twist to the apes on a treadmill idea. The scientists were exploring bipedalism, the theory that our ancient ancestors learned to walk upright because it took less energy than quadrupedal knuckle walking. To advance this hypothesis, they equipped 5 chimpanzees and 4 people with oxygen masks, and then put them on treadmills. The scientists collected data about oxygen usage in the apes and in the humans to see what they might learn. They wanted to know if energy expenditure could account for why some apes evolved to develop the intellect of today TMS humans, while others stayed behind in the jungle, as unenlightened beasts. In gathering the data, an unexpected anecdote came to the fore, one that shines a light on Wunkia TMS essay. As it turns out, some of the chimps didn't TMT want to participate in the treadmill experiment. Anthropologist David Ricklin, one of the scientists involved, told Reuters journalist Will Dunham what he observed of the apes. "Ayo, these guys, the apes, are smart enough that they would hit the stop button on the treadmill when they were done," A. Ricklin said. In other words, if an ape didn't TMT want to continue on the race to nowhere, either TMD just hit the stop button or the TMD jump off. A question remains: if the apes know how to get off the treadmill, why don't you TMT we? 57 minutes, the handmaidens of the apocalypse arrive. US Strategic Command headquarters gets hit first by an onslaught of nuclear warheads launched from Russian subs that surfaced off the East Coast minutes ago. The warheads strike at Air Force Base in Nebraska with the goal of destroying Stratcoma TMS Underground Global Operations Center. This nuclear command and control bunker was designed to withstand a direct hit from a single 1 megaton nuclear weapon, not necessarily a catastrophic bombardment by multiple 100 kiloton warheads near simultaneously. Decades ago, defense scientists calculated that one bomb with a yield of 1 megaton destroys 80 to 100 square miles, not counting the mass fire, while 10 smaller bombs, each with a yield of 100 kilotons, destroys an area more than twice that size. The light around each of the exploding weapons superheats the air to millions of degrees, creating massive nuclear fireballs that expand in diameter at millions of miles per hour. The heat so intense all concrete surfaces explode, metal melts, humans transform into combusting carbon. Some people below ground will burn to death slowly, others will carbonize instantly depending on where they are when the bombs detonate. Butte Air Force Base, as well as all of Greater Omaha, Nebraska, birthplace of the pink hair curler and butterbrickle ice creamer, and a great majority of the nearly 500,000 people living here are incinerated. At nearly the same time, another torrent of 100 kiloton warheads strikes Raven Rock Mountain Complex in Pennsylvania. The payload yields Donia TMT mean much of anything Anna Maria 100, 400, or 500 kilotons, 1 or 2 megatons, MIRVed or not MIRVed. Everything in America TMS Nuclear Command and Control System is in the process of being systematically destroyed. The original Raven Rock building plans were drawn by the same engineer who designed Hitler a TMS bunker beneath Berlin. In the end of that war, it was Na TMT, the barrage of Allied firepower, that killed Hitler. He shot himself in the head. The Raven Rock Mountain Complex is supposed to function as a centerpiece of America TMS continuity of operations plans. To keep the federal government performing AO essential functions, even after a nuclear war. But like Stratcom, Site R was designed to withstand a direct hit from a 1 megaton weapon, not a barrage of warheads decimating everything around as far as the eye can see. The President of the United States lying on the forest floor some 45 miles to the southeast becomes a casualty of this nuclear deluge. His body catches on fire, and he carbonizes. The next targets hit by a volley of Russian submarine-launched ballistic missiles are in Colorado. At the Missile Warning Center inside Cheyenne Mountain, at NORAD headquarters at Peterson Space Force Base in Colorado Springs, and at Buckley Space Force Base in Aurora. These nuclear warfighting facilities, and all their supporting facilities, absorb multiple MIRVed Russian warheads all at once. For the more than 1 million people living here at the eastern foot of the Rocky Mountains, it is as if the whole world has been set on fire. Another stream of 100 kiloton warheads strikes multiple military targets across numerous states. The intention is to destroy all redundant components of U.S. nuclear command and control in a matter of minutes. In Louisiana, Barksdale Air Force Base gets hit. The once mighty headquarters of Global Strike Command, home to the National TMS nuclear-armed B-52 long-range bombers, is no more. In Montana, Malmstrom Air Force Base is annihilated by nuclear warheads. Malmstrom is the base that operates, maintains, and oversees 150 Minuteman III ICBMs. All of the Minuteman III ICBMs have launched from their silos and are now on a ballistic trajectory to strike Russia. Payback for Russia TMS decision to launch. In North Dakota, Minute Air Force Base, home to another arsenal of Minuteman III ICBMs, is similarly destroyed. Same goes for the F.E. Warren Air Force Base in Wyoming. On the East Coast, in the coastal town of Cutler, Maine, population 500, the VLF transmitter facility, providing one-way communications to the Navy TMS ballistic missile submarines, is hit and destroyed. Same goes for the Jim Creek Naval Radio Station, outside Arlington in Washington State, and for a third facility in Lu'alu'ali, Hawaii, a large coastal valley in Oatmeau, whose name translates as "Air Beloved One Spared." As this final blitzkrieg of SLBM warheads strikes and destroys their targets, all that remains of America TMS nuclear command and control are its doomsday planes in the air and its Trident submarines at sea. As the 1960 Single Integrated Operational Plan for General Nuclear War foretold, the war is now just about numbers. About a mass extermination plan that leaves billions of human beings dead. 58 minutes, Aviano Air Base, Italy, targets across Europe get hit at the same time. A slew of the Russian SLBMs launched from the Arctic Ocean hit NATO bases across Europe. In a ruinous barrage of nuclear explosions, air bases in Belgium, Germany, the Netherlands, Italy, and Turkey become consumed in fire and obliterated by blast. Nuclear warheads inside Russian MIRVed ICBMs fly on depressed trajectories and strike London, Paris, Berlin, Brussels, Amsterdam, Rome, Ankara, Athens, Zagreb, Tallinn, Tirana, Helsinki, Stockholm, Oslo, Kyiv, and other targets in a wave of mass extermination. All enemies of Russia, from the Russian military at EMS point of view, obliterated in this mayhem are not just the millions of people living, working, and visiting these places, but also scores of civilization at EMS engineering masterpieces, Rome at EMS Colosseum, Notre Dame de Paris, Hagia Sophia, Stonehenge, the Parthenon. Iconic representations of human ingenuity and imagination disappear in a succession of nuclear fireballs, the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam, the Banja Bashi Mosque in Bulgaria, the National Library of Finland, Estonia TMS Tumpi Castle, the Temple of Augustus in Ankara, Big Ben. Like everything in Washington, D.C., it was all the one moment, and then, just seconds, latter are gone. 59 minutes, the Atlantic Ocean, America is not done launching its own nuclear missiles. The Trident submarines receive final launch orders from doomsday planes flying over the ocean, as designed during the Cold War. These final launch messages allow U.S. aircraft to communicate with subsurface ballistic missile systems even after the U.S. electric grid has gone down, after U.S. nuclear command and control has unraveled and failed. These last U.S. launch orders are performed using the Very Low Frequency System, which transmits at 15 to 60 kHz, also known as the IN/FRC-117 Survivable Low Frequency Communications System, flying in circles over the Atlantic Ocean. The last of the E-6B Doomsday Fleet airplanes deploys its 5-mile-long antennae. This long, thin wire trails out an opening in the back of the airplane until it becomes stabilized by a small parachute, called a drogue. The E-6B airplane goes into a steep bank turn, like a spiral, sending out its final nuclear launch messages one digit at a time. VLF bandwidth has a very low data transfer rate, just 35 alphanumeric characters per second. This is slower than the first generation dial-up modems, but fast enough to transmit final emergency action messages to Trident submarines thousands of miles away. Messages that, in turn, allow the Tridents to deliver one final nuclear blow as a follow-on punch to the entire US nuclear triad of weapons that is presently on its way to targets across Russia. The commands are received. It will take another 15 minutes, or so for the last of the Trident missiles to begin launch. No one in America, including the submarine crews, will end up knowing if, or what, these missiles hit. The epic, existential tragedy is that these last and final nuclear battle maneuvers cease to matter on Anania TMS scoreboard. Everyone loses. Everyone. 72 minutes, United States of America, likely nuclear strike targets in the continental United States. FEMA, DHS, U.S. Department of Defense, image by Michael Rami. At minute 72 of a conflict that began at 3:03 p.m. EST, 1,000 Russian nuclear warheads begin striking America in a 20-minute-long barrage of nuclear hellfire. 1,000 nuclear warheads strike a nation already decimated by 192 Russian SLBM warheads and two North Korean thermonuclear bombs. North Korea TMS third and final ICBM launched from the Hojong underground facility in Hwapyeong County, North Korea failed upon re-entry. The barrage of 1,000 nuclear weapons strikes a nation already stripped of electricity and littered with the dead bodies of nuclear bomb blast victims, victims of radiation poisoning, of airplane, train, subway, and automobile crashes, of chemical explosions, of floods from burst dams. There are 1,000 flashes of light, superheating the air in each ground zero to 180 million degrees Fahrenheit. 1,000 fireballs, each one more than a mile in diameter. 1,000 steeply fronted blast waves. 1,000 walls of compressed air, accompanied by several hundred mile per hour winds pushing forward from the 1,000 fireballs, mowing down everything, and everyone, in the path. 1,000 American cities and towns, where all engineered structures in a 5, 6, or 7 mile radius change physical shapes, collapse, and burn. 1,000 cities and towns with molten asphalt streets. 1,000 cities and towns with survivors impaled to death by flying debris. 1,000 cities and towns filled with tens of millions of dead. With tens of millions of unfortunate survivors suffering fatal third-degree burns. People naked, tattered, bleeding, and suffocating. People who don't yet EMT look or act like people anymore. 1,000 ground zeros transforming into 1,000 megafires, each soon to be burning over an area of 100 or more square miles. Across America and Europe, hundreds of millions of people are dead and dying, while hundreds of military aircraft fly circles in the air until they run out of fuel, while the last of the Trident submarines move stealthily out at sea, patrolling in circles until the crews run out of food, while survivors hide out in bunkers until they dare go outside, or run out of air. Survivors who eventually, inevitably emerge from these bunkers to face what Nikita Khrushchev foresaw when he said, "Ayo, the survivors will envy the dead." A the world at EMS first nuclear explosion occurred on July 16, 1945, at a site on the plains of the Alamogordo bombing range, known locally as the Jornada del Muerto. How the story of nuclear weapons began is how it will end. Jornada del Muerto. The Journey of the Dead Man. Part 5. The next 24 months and beyond. Or, where we are headed after a nuclear exchange, day zero, after the bombs stop. United States of America. Nuclear winter is cold and dark. Image by Achilles Ambassadors, it is very cold and it is very dark. The nuclear bombs sent aloft from all sides eventually stop striking targets. The high-yield ground and air bursts eventually cease. Across America, everything continues to burn. Cities, suburbs, towns, forests. The smoke produced from burning skyscrapers and other tall buildings generates a noxious smog of pyrotoxins. Burning building materials, including fiberglass and insulation, spew cyanides, vinyl chloride, dioxins, and furans into the atmosphere. This haze of lethal smoke and gases kills survivors and further poisons the scorched earth. Large-scale, 100 to 200-mile radius rings of fire push out from each of the 1,000 ground zeros across America. At first, there seems to be no end in sight to the destruction from these mass fires. With no pumped water to put anything out, these fires ignite new fires, trapping and killing people who managed to survive the initial mass extermination that came with the full-scale nuclear exchange. Across less densely populous areas of America, notably in the western states, forest fires rage. Coniferous trees in particular cannot handle radioactive fallout. They die and topple over, creating gigantic piles of kindling wood for ensuing fires. The intense firestorms create further apocalyptic conditions with cascading consequences. Oil and natural gas supplies, coal seams, and peat bogs burn for months on end. As a byproduct of all these cities and forests burning across America and also across Europe, Russia, and parts of Asia so intensely, for so long, some 150 TG, about £330.6 billion, of soot gets lofted into the upper troposphere and stratosphere. This black, powdery soot blocks out the sun. Its swarming rays disappear. Ayo, the density of soot would reduce global temperatures by roughly 27 degrees Fahrenheit, a climatologist Alan Robock explains. Ayo, in America, it would be more like a drop of 40 degrees Fahrenheit, slightly less near the oceans. The Earth plunges into a new horror called nuclear winter. The concept of nuclear winter first caught the world at EMS attention in October 1983 when Parade magazine, then read by more than 10 million Americans, featured on its cover a spooky image of a darkened earth and news of a special report to Inside, authored by one of the world at EMS most famous scientists, Carl Sagan. "Ayo, would nuclear war be the end of the world?" I, Sagan asked, and answered, "Ayo, in a nuclear A exchange, ATM, more than a billion people would instantly be killed. But the long-term consequences could be much worse. A consequences that Sagan, his former students James B. Pollack and O. Brian Toon, and meteorologists Thomas P. Ackerman and Richard P. Turco laid out in terrifying detail in a paper published 2 months later, in the journal Science. The paper was attacked by other scientists and by the Defense Department. AO, they said nuclear winter is irrelevant, Eric Hall's Professor Brian Toon, one of the original authors. AO, they called it Soviet disinformation. A but behind closed doors and in writings that have only recently seen the light of day, those at the very heart of the nuclear weapons complex knew the threat of nuclear winter was real. The result of a large-scale nuclear exchange, wrote scientists with the Defense Nuclear Agency, would be a atmospheric drama and with a serious potential for severe consequences for Earth, atmosphere, weather and climate. Of course there are uncertainties with nuclear winter scenarios, a physicist Frank von Hippel tells us today. But there's no uncertainty if you inject that much soot into the atmosphere after a full-scale nuclear war. In the original nuclear winter paper, the authors acknowledged their modeling had limitations. It was 1983. Computers were still in their infancy. And now, decades later, state-of-the-art modeling systems show atmospheric trauma from nuclear winter will, in fact, be even more severe. AOR first models, in 1983, said nuclear winter would last about 1 year, Atoon explains. AO new data suggests the Earth-TMS recovery time would be more like 10 years. A that the sooner TMS warming rays will reduce by roughly 70%. All life depends upon the sun. Sun equals life. Plants require sunlight to grow. Animals need plants for food. This includes Homo sapiens on the ground, birds in the air, worms in the soil, fish in the sea. The sooner TMS energy drives Earth-TMS ecosystem, the complex biological system of interacting organisms in which we all live. With billions of tons of sooty particles lofted into the atmosphere after a nuclear war, the structure of the Earth-TMS troposphere changes. The troposphere is the first, and lowest, layer of the Earth-TMS atmosphere, extending up to, on average, 7.5 miles in height. Most of the Earth-TMS weather happens here. The troposphere holds all the air that plants need for photosynthesis and that animals need to breathe. It contains 99% of Earth-TMS water vapor. After nuclear war, because of the alteration of the troposphere, the weather changes overnight. After a full-scale nuclear exchange, the Earth-TMS atmosphere will change. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, this is how the world becomes so cold and so dark. Temperatures plunge. Severe and prolonged low temperatures grip the Earth. The region worst affected is the mid-latitudes, the part of the northern hemisphere between 30 and 60 degrees latitude. This includes the United States and Canada, Europe, East Asia, and Central Asia. With these extreme temperature drops, summer weather becomes like winter. Toon says, AO new data shows that in places like Iowa and Ukraine, the temperature will not go above freezing for 6 years. A when nuclear World War III began in this scenario, it was March 30th, early spring. In Los Angeles, the temperature plunges to below freezing. The killing frosts decimate tropical plant life and destroy crops across the region. In places like North Dakota, Michigan, and Vermont, where average temperatures hovered in the teens Fahrenheit, the temperature plunge means sub-zero weather for prolonged periods of time. Bodies of fresh water become entombed in thick sheets of ice. In the extreme north, Arctic sea ice expands by 4 million square miles, more than 50% greater than present-day ice sheets. Normally ice-free coastal regions freeze over, leading to what modern geophysicists call the aeonuclear little ice age. The elements are not the only death sentence that looms. As the post-war weeks and months pass, survivors fighting the bitter cold become sick with radiation poisoning. Strontium-90, iodine-131, tritium, cesium-137, plutonium-239, and other radioactive products swept up into the mushroom clouds and dispersed around the Earth as fallout continue to contaminate the environment. Death by radiation is an excruciating way to die. As acute vomiting and diarrhea run their course, bone marrow and intestinal destruction sets in. The lining on victims' ATM organs ruptures and hemorrhages. The insides of people's ATMs bodies liquefy as blood vessel lining sloughs away. These are grueling maladies to endure in a hospital, near impossible to overcome in the cold and the dark, on the run from firestorms and toxic smoke. Those who continue to live suffer chromosomal damage and blindness. Many will become sterile, or semi-sterile, with reproductivity further reduced over time.